Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's it? The
Wait, tomorrow?
No.
This is for the
19th.
Oh.
What are you doing?
Merry Christmas in 6 days.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
I was trying to roll with you, but then...
I forgot like what date we're recording for, so I got confused.
What is time around this time?
What is my name? Okay. But did you know that two of Santa's reindeers originally had different names?
No.
Instead of Donner and Blitzen, they were Dunder and Blixum.
Dunder?
I don't know why that's funny to me. Dunder. Because that was a Dutch way to refer to thunder and lightning.
Wait,
that's
what
cool.
is Dunder and Mifflin? Is that?
Oh, that's Dunder Mifflin is The Office.
Right. Is it? Is there like a thing?
Nah.
Dunder? Not connection to The Office. I mean, is Dunder like a...
Dunder, I guess.
A festive
Dunder.
Thing?
Oh. Dunder Mifflin, but I think those were just names.
Weird,
can you name
weird
all the reindeer? Go.
I absolutely cannot.
You know, Dasher.
Don't stop.
Dancer. Prancer and Vixen.
I can't name them.
You don't know that song?
I know the song. I can't name it.
Sing it then.
I don't. Have the names, Taryn. Get off my back.
A lot is being asked of people working in schools.
Teachers have more and more things to do.
The shortage of teachers right now, having to fill a lot of holes and wear a lot of hats, it's very difficult.
There are steps you can take to manage stressful times, whether in the classroom or outside of work.
For me personally, I can disconnect by just being outside.
Laughing works a lot.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley.
I'm Taryn.
And
I am Christmas Spirit.
I'm Christmas Spirit.
Ashley hates Christmas Spirit because it steals from her spirit.
It's true. Try having your birthday. And
dude,
every year, Christmas takes it from you.
That is the absolute roughest holiday to share.
It sucks so bad.
Because no one does not celebrate. Wow.
Literally no one will come to your birthday party. It's not going to happen. But so it has stolen my thunder. But I would say I am the merriest, so I take offense too.
No, I'm just kidding.
I take offense to you.
We do love Christmas
stuff.
We
do love Christmas.
We love
all things Christmas.
Yeah, we do.
I'm actually currently dating someone whose birthday's on Christmas Eve.
I think that's such a trip.
It's so weird. So he's actually going to be spending Christmas with me and my family this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he Cute. Is. We're very excited about it. And I was visiting my parents recently.
Poor thing, because Alicia's going to be filming the crap out of it.
Yeah, he's not going to want to be in any video. I think that's good for her.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to be doing like Christmas Eve at my parents' house. So we're going to go out to dinner for his birthday.
So fun.
And celebrate like our birthdays. And then I think we finally figured out something fun. Like, I think we might go to the wineries in Temecula if they're open.
Oh, cool.
Like the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
I've never done that for my birthday. And it's it's such a Riverside thing.
Yeah.
Temecula is. So we were thinking about doing something like that.
How cute.
To kind of like be able to celebrate both of our birthdays separately, but together.
No, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I love that.
But yeah, if you can, try not
Watch
to have
just
kids
show
on
up.
The holidays.
You guys are like
you
sitting.
Come.
You guys are sitting all romantic, and I'm like,
I would love.
Hey.
I never see. Well, actually, it was going to be the whole family, so not just the two of us.
Oh, then I'm for sure coming.
Yeah, yeah.
The day after Christmas, there.
So that's the plan. I haven't booked anything yet. I know I'm slacking. I should do that now, but that's hopefully going to be the plan.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that for you. I don't have a boyfriend.
Right.
<Just kidding. laughs> The way you started it was like, so I have a boyfriend this year.
I said, I'm
so
dating
saying,
someone
so
whose
I don't
birthday.
Have a boyfriend. But then it was like, the silence was so piercing. And then I got uncomfortable and embarrassed.
You put me in an uncomfortable situation.
Right. Right. Okay, FML. All right, let's continue.
Let's get into it. You feeling any better than you were last episode?
20 are we trying to pretend ago? Like we didn't just record that?
We're doing a two for today, and you guys know what that means. The second episode's always a show.
It gets weird.
It gets real weird.
What should we talk about? Let's talk about Christmas tradition.
Ooh, okay. That's
I love
fun.
This. Okay. Let me think of one. Oh, okay. So my family, we have always had fake trees. Mm-hmm. And so our, like, I would say our biggest, like, Christmas tradition is when we decorate the tree, mm-hmm. We go around and we, like, share. And it's so cute. Like, my mom brings out her, like, recorder camera. And we go around and we talk about, like, what we love, like, what's going on in our lives, and then, like, what we're thankful for. And it's just, like, really cute because it's just, like, such an intentional time together to, like, put the tree up. Mm-hmm. So, and it always is just, like, crazy because, you know, my brothers, like, it gets crazy. But that's, I feel like that's, like, our biggest family tradition.
Explain why it gets crazy? The intentional time gets crazy?
No, because my brothers are insane and we're always, like, fighting or, like, you know.
Decorating the tree gets crazy. I was hung up on intentional. I was like, why?
No. It's just like, I mean, you've been around my family. Like, we're just crazy. So it's a good time. It's a great time.
Fun. I don't know.
You're in some of those videos. Aren't you in one of them?
I've done a couple, I think.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
We used to decorate the Christmas tree every Thanksgiving until we moved out. We used to always do Christmas on Christmas Eve. That's a fun fact. My parents tried really hard in an effort to make me feel special on my birthday. We literally,
which is so sweet.
Yeah, we would do everything Christmas on Christmas Eve so that I could wake up and it would be my day. The older I got, the less I cared about that. But growing up, that meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. So that's a fun little Christmas tradition we had.
No, it's always cute too because, like, it's everything is decorated birthday. Like,
yeah.
Birthday wrapping paper, birthday cake, like,
and my sister
all the
and mom always try really hard to do, like, non-Christmassy wrapping paper and non-Christmassy decor.
Which is so intentional. It's
so
really
cute.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it does. It makes a big difference. It's like, oh, yeah, this is my birthday present, not my Christmas
I feel
present.
Like you guys also always cook, like, a really massive breakfast.
Yeah. I don't know where or how that started, but I think it was, again, my parents really trying to make that day not feel like Christmas and feel like a birthday. So I think that's where it came from, which is fun. Parents are great.
I love your parentals.
If you have holiday-born kids, little things like that make a big difference.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to laugh if you have, like, a kid born on, like, Halloween or something.
I would love.
You just can't celebrate anything.
God.
You would love, yeah.
I would imagine,
especially when they're a baby, like, all the, like, their one-year-old birthday.
Oh, my God, so cute.
Wow, so cute.
I mean, not me plotting and planning and scheming for that to happen. That'd be so much fun.
Your calendar, you're like.
I'm like, today's the day.
Not tonight, honey. Yes, tonight, honey.
Should we do a turn it up?
Yeah.
I have a great one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Turn it up. How not to impress your new boyfriend's family.
Uh-oh.
This is like the embarrassing dating stories times 10 because the parents are involved. It's really great. Okay, here we go. Hi, ladies. People have been calling us ladies lately.
Ladies.
I've been enjoying your podcast for almost a year now. I am one of those people that listens while at the gym. You weirdo.
I love that, like, we've found this,
we,
like,
found a niche group of people.
Yeah, and that it's, like, now a thing where it's, like, they feel like they need to say, like, I am a gym listener because we've talked about it so much. Like,
it's funny.
I like when that starts happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I want people to start saying their countries.
We're making it a thing.
Make you. It is a thing.
What are other unsolicited advice isms? Anonymous. That became like a thing.
Right.
Where
dad
it's
jokes.
Like our
people
anonymous
do send
fam.
In dad jokes.
Dad jokes. them like gushing over us in the beginning.
Right. They have to give like a little blurb about how much they love us and how much they listen and stuff like that. That became like a thing.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I don't know.
It's just crazy how like organically stuff becomes like a thing.
Like,
you know?
Oh, there's an email pattern.
I mean, tearing it up.
Yeah, tearing it up's a thing now. That wasn't initially supposed to be. Interesting. All right. Well, I love that we are hype. We are over here just hyping you up at the gym over there.
We are trendsetters.
Way to crush it. continuing on, she writes, it's part of my Monday routine to get my mind and body in a good space for the week ahead. So thank you both so much. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. If you read this on the pod, feel free to use my name. Her name's Samantha. I believe in owning your embarrassment. It's what makes life fun. It's probably not relevant, but you ladies encouraged me to figure out which Enneagram I am.
Ooh.
And the that's a ism.
Ooh.
That's an ism. And the online test I took told me that I was a 1 and my boyfriend is a 9. I'm 28 and he's 31. This is the type of details I'm talking about, people. That changes everything. That changes everything. I know who you are. He's me. You're 28, 30. That just like, I love
this. Would it be hard for a 9 and a 1 to date? Like, in my mind, that would be hard. But then also, I could see.
I think it depends.
Because I feel like you specifically, you can be very, like, anal about stuff.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. Like, just which ones, that's, like, their personality trait. So I feel like in those ways, I could see you guys having, like, the most perfect, like, routine of, like, your house and everything.
If we're anal about the same things.
Oh, that's true.
I think what would be interesting is if a 9 and 1 started dating and their OCD-ness shows in different ways. Whatever it is that they're particular about, because ones are the perfectionist, which means everything they do has to be, like, to a certain degree and has to be perfectly done every time. But it's based off of their own scale of perfection.
Yeah.
And then 9s are the same.
If the ones are vocal about it,
ones are vocal about it, 9 struggle. So if I was to be married to a 1 or date a 1, and I liked things done a certain way, and they liked things done a certain way, but they didn't mesh, that would be really hard.
Yeah.
Like if I had to have the kitchen clean a certain way, let's talk about something that's so simple, but like life altering. If I had to have the kitchen a certain way and they preferred it a different way,
oof, yeah.
We wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
We would have to like perfectly overlap.
I've witnessed Ashley in a kitchen battle with Alicia. Yeah. And yeah, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Or you're anal about something that doesn't matter to me. That could work.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
If his thing is like the garage or like just other specific things that are specific to him, if it doesn't affect me, awesome. If it affects me, hopefully it's... Also,
if it affects you, you'll have a big fight 4 months from now.
Yeah, you just wait.
You just wait. It's coming.
I'll tell you in about 4.5 months.
Sorry. Okay. Continue.
Anyways, but all that being said, love the details because I feel like I know your guys' relationship now. Okay. So on to the story. I had been dating my boyfriend for about 3 months when his sister was having a housewarming / 4th of July party. Both of my boyfriend's sisters would be there, and they are very similar appearance-wise. Blonde, slim, stylish, and I'm not that. I'm brunette, thick, and an 80-year-old woman on the inside.
I'm done.
So needless to say, I was nervous about making a good impression, and we would be staying the night on an air mattress. My boyfriend's family is also big on drinking, and after my college days, I almost stopped drinking entirely. But I remembered my college days were quite fun, so I put on my game face, and as soon as we arrived at the party, I just started slamming White Claws.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I just love how she wrote that.
Also, like, can we just talk about, because I've had a few friends, like, their family is, like, they're drinkers.
Yeah.
It's a culture, and it's, You don't go into it lightly. Like, you need to be aware.
One of my ex's families were all drinkers. And I never really have been. I can, but I'm not to that degree.
No,
and it was very much like, you come home from work, you drink. You, on the weekends, drink. At holidays, it's a shit show. Like, everyone's just like,
yeah, like the ants
drinking.
Falling in the planner. Yeah. Like, I never grew up experiencing
that. Yeah, it's just a huge part of if you have the family, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're always a little thrown off by like, I don't know how to act. So if you're not a part of it, I get her being like, wow. Slamming the White Claws is funny. Anyways, continuing. The alcohol helped me break out of my shell a little bit, But it turns out that I could not keep up with his sisters. Games of Flip Cup were played up and down the river, kings, you name it. And on top of that, I do not eat red meat. And the food that they had was typical barbecue food, meaning hamburgers and hot dogs.
So she's not eating and pounding White Claws.
So she...
That's not a good combo.
Yeah. So I filled, she writes, so I filled my stomach with alcohol and no food.
Oof.
To help me keep my head.
Oof.
I'm sure it's not surprising at all that I ended up blacking out. The next morning, I found out that I had peed myself on the air mattress, and my boyfriend had to change my clothes and wash the sheets.
What?
He miraculously was able to do this without anyone knowing, and to this day, his sisters don't know what happened the first time we ever met. To put a cherry on top on the drive home, we had to pull over so that I could throw up behind the closed door in the gas station. Amazingly, my boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 4 years now, and I've attached a picture. Love, Samantha.
That's a good boyfriend.
Isn't that hilarious? I understand the, like, desire. That's a picture of them.
They're
cute. They're so cute. I understand the, like, I too, and I feel like, sorry, I was a mess just now. I feel like I get the most uncomfortable at events sometimes where mm-hmm. where I'm like required to network. And it does take, I need a drink. I think it helps me to kind of just like get in the zone, to takes the edge off a little bit, but I can't have two. There's a big difference between one drink Ashley who's chill and able to like not overthink her words. And then there's two drinks Ashley who's probably having a little too much fun and talking too much. You know, like there's a difference.
Yeah.
And when meeting the family, it's a fine line. I would put you in the same category as a networking party of like, you get one, you don't get two.
Especially the first time. Especially the first time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm done.
I remember I worked with Model East probably 4 years ago. And this is a magazine company that really focuses on models. And when I first, fun fact, when I first got into YouTube, the first network that signed me was a modeling agency.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I remember being like, I don't think I'm your vibe. Like I'm on socials. Like I'm a YouTuber. I don't do modeling. But they were like, no, we're trying to grow in that area. And I thought, oh yeah, big fish, little pond. Like that'll be good. So I did it. And I ended up in the Bahamas with a bunch of hot, beautiful women. And we all had to
do
photo
shoots. You're hot and beautiful, Ash.
But I'm not a model.
But you're hot and beautiful.
I appreciate that. But I'm not a model. I was, and I got roomed with this beautiful girl.
Yeah, she was so,
sweet. And I remember being like, you're gorgeous. I don't belong here. And I was getting ready for my photo shoot. She left, thank God, to go get a massage. And I was just sweating bullets. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to take a quick shot before I have to meet the photographer. I took a shot of whiskey. And then the guys that I was talking to down there ended up just being like a good time, the bartenders. So they gave me another one.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, it's free. And like, I need the courage. And I just remember being a little too like, ugh. My photo shoot. Shouldn't have done it. But it got me out there in my bikini, so
yeah.
Did the world see those photos? No, but we did it.
You
and it
did
was a life-changing moment, and I appreciate that shot that helped me get there.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
That was relevant.
Okay.
I followed you.
Good, 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 good.
A lot is being asked of people working in schools.
Teachers have more and more things to do.
The shortage of teachers right now, having to fill a lot of holes and wear a lot of hats, it's very difficult.
There are steps you can take to manage stressful times, whether in the classroom or outside of work.
For me personally, I can disconnect by just being outside.
Laughing works a lot.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Well,
would this be a holiday episode if we don't talk about family holiday drama?
There's always family holiday drama. Always. That's why it's good we talk about it, because we're all about to go into some.
Yeah.
Maybe differing degrees, but there's going to be some.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, so this is called Heartbreak for the Holidays.
Oh, no.
I know. Hi, ladies. I've been a listener from day one and have written in quite a few times.
Uh-oh. This keeps happening.
Sorry. I love you the mostest.
Oh,
that's a UAism. That is an ashism. Specifically. Mm-hmm. I don't really know where to start my story, so let's start with a quick intro. I'm 28. Ash, 29 on December 23rd.
So close.
So goes her, your boo, then you.
23rd, 24th, 25th, yeah.
Yeah. An Enneagram 2 Wing 3, hi, okay. Me.
That's Taryn, yeah.
And married with a beautiful baby girl. I live in Louisiana and come from a divorced family with a little brother. My brother and I are 5 years apart, and due to his nearly dying at the age of 6, we've always been really close. That is until around April when he got his first serious girlfriend. That is so hard. I don't know if you experienced... Did you like Alicia's?
I loved him.
But I feel like his sisters, I feel like, is different.
I disagree, but I do think her age at the time makes us very different.
Like... If you, I'm saying, like, you, so if she's dating a guy, like, you're protective for sure, but, like, it's a guy. Whereas, like, with brothers, when they start dating a girl, like, there's this sense of, like, it's really easy to not like them and to be, like, there to be, like, tension. Whereas, like, a guy, I feel like it's harder for that tension because they're just dudes. You know what I, am I making sense?
I think it depends on the guy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I was just very – I'm like, the older sister. So there were a couple girls that my brothers started talking to that from day one, I was, like, over my dead body, and
they
knew it.
You're also extremely protective.
I'm very protective. But, yeah, they were, like, terrified of me, and I loved it.
And you loved it.
I loved it.
Alicia's that type of person, too.
Yes. Alicia's a different level, though. Alicia would, like,
she
torture
the
guys.
She loved the fear.
She tortured the guys. Anyways, don't get me wrong. I'm incredibly happy for him because he's so happy. But I'm also worried about him. He's hardly ever around our family anymore, and they're moving in together in January. We grew up Southern Baptist, and in college I converted to Catholicism. But no matter how you spin it, I am a Christian. During our visit with my family, my brother and I had a heart-to-heart. I tend to be a mediator between him and my mom because she's been concerned about him for months but doesn't talk to him. They are so much alike that when they do end up talking, they both get super defensive. My brother opened up and shared with me that his girlfriend is an atheist and that he now considers himself one as well. I'm very open and understanding of others, but to hear my brother confess this, my heart shattered. I couldn't express that to him because he was already crying and I hated to see him that way. How do I repair the slightly cracked relationship with my brother before it shatters? I don't want to lose him because he's technically my daughter's godfather and he's my baby brother, and I can't imagine life without that connection. I could go on with more details, but it's already long enough, so hopefully you've gotten a good enough picture. Speaking of pictures, oh, and she sent one of her and her brother.
Cute.
No, that's her husband.
Oh.
Her and her brother.
Cute.
And that's her and her husband and her baby. She's so cute. Love you both so much, Anonymous. I think it's very hard. It almost goes along with kind of like the story we were talking about last week, aka 20 minutes ago, where when people change, but you knew them as certain things, and it's hard to process that and to know how to act and then to find that line, especially in family and especially I feel like when it comes to topics like this. Because obviously, like, if you identify as a Christian and the things that you believe and then someone you love says, like, they don't believe in those things, like, a lot of times it's very hard for people because they're like, I know I want you to go to heaven. I want you to, like, have that connection with me where we, like, believe the same things. So it can be very hard to process that type of a change. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, there comes this point where, especially with family, because they're not going anywhere, you have to be able to, obviously you express your concerns, but you have to be able to at some point communicate that you love them and you accept them from who they are.
I was just about to say, you wrote that you don't want to lose him. I don't think that that should be even, like, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. If you handle this the right way, that shouldn't happen at all. The number one thing that should be communicated to him and his girlfriend, but primarily him, is that you love him.
Yeah.
You are family. That's your brother. You're his sister. And you are diehards. Like, you are family and nothing's going to change. You love him. You support him. It doesn't matter. Do you disagree with him? Sure. But that shouldn't get in the way of you guys being family and how much you love him.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as that is communicated, number one, before anything else, then you can have conversations differently. Yeah. Like I think, as a sister, we've talked about this on episodes before, like being friends and being like in that close circle of people in your life, you have the right to mention concerns and to have constructive conversations about it. Just letting them know, like, hey, like, yeah, I'm a little worried because that's a big drastic change, but I'd love to talk about, like, what made you get there? Like, what brought you to this decision? Like, do you see this, like, affecting, like, your forever thought, or, like, does it bother you? Like, you know, I think that opens a door and window, especially as siblings, to be able to have, like, a good conversation about it. But remember, like, he's an adult and he can make those decisions for himself. And it's just about letting him know that he's loved and not overstepping your boundaries when it comes to you giving him any advice.
Also, like, I think obviously it's hard to watch. I mean, it's probably, you're making the connection, because even when I'm reading it, so if she's 28, he's like 23.
Yeah.
So, and it's his first girlfriend. And then, well, all of a sudden now you're just totally changing all your, like, foundational religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure as a sister, you're watching it and you're like, this girl is just, like, morphing you into someone you're not. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. And that, unfortunately, is very, like, common. That mm-hmm. can happen.
I mean, we were just talking about a story.
Exactly.
Last week about people at that age. Like, so this is normal.
I think you have to be careful, because if he's just in this place where he's, like, if he is being influenced, which it sounds like he is, and then you guys come at it very hard and aggressive, like, that's only going to push him farther down a path he's in. Mm-hmm. If that's not, like, the path that he's choosing, right? Yeah. And I think in general, I don't know why, but I think that I will say I feel like Christians as a big picture are accused of this the most, mm-hmm. being very aggressive about, like, what they think and what they feel is right.
This happens. A family member tells you some news. You start flipping tables.
You're
going to
scriptures.
Hell.
Yes.
You know, all it becomes so intense. And it's a lot of religious. It happens in a lot of religions, but yeah, specifically.
I feel like Christians get a bad name because of the people that are very aggressive.
Yeah.
And it makes me so sad, because I don't think that ever has been a part of, like, what I identify as at all. Mm-hmm. And for me, also, it's just common communication and people skills.
Yeah.
If you yell something in my face and come at me with this spirit of, like, I'm right and you're wrong,
yeah,
I'm going to have a really hard time hearing what you have to say.
Oh, immediately
bottom line.
I'm closing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that what we forget is that no matter what you believe, us as humans are very relational, and all we want is for people to support us and respect us. Like, it's like a basic thing. So I've had friends that have believed different things. Am I shy about what I believe? No. Am I forcing it down their throat? No. Do I present myself in a way that obviously, like, they know if they had questions or if they were open to have a conversation, I would? Of course, because obviously I'm going to talk about, like, anything that has to do with my life with people who care, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's something that I think, like, you're going to have to be careful of, because I think that you're going to come into this, how do we change him back? Like, how do we get him back? And I think that if you do it in the wrong way, instead of just being like, hey, I love you and I miss you and I support you and I'm still going to talk about my religion. I'm still going to invite you to church with me. I'm not going to make you feel alienated. And I'm here in case he does have those moments where he's like, wait, I don't know if I made the right decision or I'm having doubts. Like, you want to create that loving, open relationship so he feels comfortable to come talk to you, not a judgment relationship where he's like, I'm not, why am I going to talk to you? I know you have like ulterior motives, you know?
No, 100%. I think in the end, it's all about respect and respecting each other. And I think, I don't know how else to word it, but as long as you just make it very clear that him, his choice in a partner and his choice in religion doesn't affect the way you see him, view him, love him, respect him, your relationship shouldn't change in any way. Like, yes, you don't see eye to eye, but whose family all sees eye to eye? That's not new. So again, just really show him how much you love him. Don't change how you view him or how you talk about your faith with him. Like, that you shouldn't change in any way. He shouldn't change in any way. As long as you respect each other.
Yeah. And I think, like, at the end of the day, like, that's such a people's views of what they, like, what they believe is such a personal thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's sometimes people, they take too much responsibility on themselves to affect someone else's decision.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, because again, I do feel like there have been so many Christians that have done terrible things to like paint a view of who I think we were meant to be. At the end of the day, I feel like you're meant to love God and love people. Like, that's what I believe, right? So at the end of the day, as long as I'm still doing those things, I can pray for people. I can pray, you know, for people's hearts to be changed. But as long as every action I'm doing is communicating that I love that person and I'm there for them, then I'm doing my job. Yeah. It's not my job to, like, force feed anything down anyone's throat. Yeah. And I think that goes with, like, anything in life. Like, it's not the way to speak about things, and it's not the way to get people to, like, listen to what you have to say. So I think you need to take a step back, and you can communicate, hey, if I'm honest, I'm a little bit sad, and I'm worried that, like, you're changing so much, and I just want to make sure, like, you're still you, and you're still, like, who you are, and you're not changing for another person. That is a very very valid thing to say to someone.
And it's totally normal to be like, hey, I can't help but notice all these changes happening the second you started dating this girl. I just want you to be aware.
You don't have to be like, you're going down a path of sin. Like,
and you don't have to say she's an evil person. You can just be like, I've noticed and I'm going to leave that with you. You
and know? Then, yeah, and you say, obviously, I love you and I'm here for you and I just want to make sure you're being true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to talk about these things anymore, but you're my brother and I want you in my life. So, like, please don't feel distant. What
please
if
know
you
that
start
you can
to
talk
feel
to
that
me.
Tension? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you are the mediator between him and your mom, that's where I would just continue to encourage her, like, mom, it's his life. Mm-hmm. He's going to do what he's going to do, but we need to make sure, like, we're still being, like, family to him. Yeah. And
it's so normal for moms to think that they are responsible for the actions of their kids. This has nothing to do with her. He's a grown adult. He can make those decisions on his own. And again, just like we said in the last episode, those early ages of like 20
you don't
through
know who
25,
you are,
you're figuring shit out. You don't know who you are, what you believe in. You're figuring out your career. Like, people are going through so much dramatic, life-changing things. Just let them be.
Yeah.
Just let them be.
Yeah. And pray, girl. That's all you can do. All right. Well, thank you for writing that in. I feel like that's very common in just like different things. Like where like someone starts to like make decisions, the rest of the family.
Yeah.
It's hard. It can cause like a lot of tension. So I'm definitely sending all the vibes that it'll be a happy holiday and it'll feel united and full of love and all the things.
Okay, well, moving on to my story. I was very stoked about this one because it was just positive.
Oh.
It was just like, and I liked it. you know?
Well, yeah, I feel like we get a lot of heavy stories now. So it's nice to get like an uplift. Yeah.
Let it be known that we take positive stuff too. We like good. We love happy stories. This one is titled Living My Best Life.
Wow. Hello. Off to a great start.
I know. Hello, Ashley and Taryn. I would like to remain anonymous, but you can know my name.
I don't know what you mouth, but sure. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know why we do that. We really should.
I know.
I absolutely love your podcast, especially this year's October series. Thank you, ladies, for everything that you do. I'm incredibly grateful. I am 18 years old, an Enneagram 3, and currently a freshman in college studying pharmaceutical sciences so that I can get my doctorate in a pharmacy degree. I am loving every minute of this college journey and have made so many great friends this year. I have gotten confirmation that this is what I am meant to be studying since I have fallen in love with all of my classes, especially chemistry. Wow, you lucky duck.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's not the case for everyone in school.
Nope.
Specifically me.
Yeah.
I am doing very well in school and working so hard to get the grades that I need to get into the Doctor of Pharmacy program. Although I am excelling in school and pride myself on being productive, the Enneagram 3 in me never allows me to be satisfied. I always feel like I need to be doing something more than I already am, and if I do, I feel like I have not been productive enough. I have always been a hard worker and have reaped the benefits of it, but I am not sure how to shake the feeling of never being content with the amount of work that I have done throughout the day and feeling like I should always be doing something more. I am super involved in clubs and organizations in college and have a very full course load, so I know this feeling is not due to boredom. And on days that I don't have that many things to do on my to-do list and end up taking a full break, I feel sluggish and I feel gross. I know all of this is part of my personality, but I do not want to let it get into my head. What would your advice be for me in taking steps to feel satisfied with my work and be okay with taking breaks? I know I need to develop those skills if I want to be successful in my schooling and in life. Thank you so much for reading this email. I hope it all made sense, and just writing down all my thoughts as they came to me helped. I hope you ladies are doing well, and I look forward to the next episode of the pod. All my love and gratitude, Anonymous.
Wow.
First of all, I just feel like you're thriving in school. Even the way that you are looking for advice on how to, like,
yeah,
on how this is what you're looking for advice for, it just radiates such an Enneagram 3. My sister's an Enneagram 3. Ouch. And something that I've struggled with her, and let me paint a picture for you. We've obviously lived together our whole lives, but I just spent 5 years living alone with her in a house. Taryn was a roommate for a while, so she got to witness this a lot. I had a really hard time comparing myself to her work ethic because she doesn't stop.
No, actually,
she wakes up and works and is editing in bed before going to bed. I'm just going to go ahead and give you the blunt of it. It's toxic and it's very unhealthy for you. And I feel like she went a really long time before it finally hit her, and then she plummeted. So I love the fact that you are looking for like structure and balance now, because that just means you're going to have a much healthier outlook on work.
Yeah.
And you obviously recognize that there is times to take breaks, and that's important to take breaks. But it's also important to celebrate like how successful you're doing. Yeah. And it does feel really good to get everything on your to-do list done. So I think little things that I've started doing since I now live alone.
Yeah, she does.
I love having like a designated, I call it wine o'clock, whether I'm drinking or not. 5 o'clock or 6 p.m. is when I like to sit on my patio and just sit with my dog. I'll usually take my dog on a walk. I'll listen to a podcast. Maybe if it's like a Friday or Saturday, I'll have a glass of wine. If not, I'll pour myself a cup of tea or have a snack, and I'll just sit for 30 minutes and go over like everything that I did. And I'll be like, oh, I did that good. And feel good about my accomplishments. If there's something I need to do still, I'll just make a little mental note of, okay, when I'm done with my little wine o'clock hour, I'll get that done too. But there's zero pressure. There's zero me being negative at myself. I think it is important to have a manageable to-do list.
Yeah.
I think something that threes do that needs to be controlled is having a to-do list of 30 things that they have to do in the day. Let's be realistic. Let's have a to-do list that we have to do that week. And then let's have a manageable daily to-do list of what you can actually get done. That way, when you get it done, you can fully let go and relax. Because that's something I feel like three struggle with a lot.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, too, because she said, like, even if she does all the things she accomplished, she still feels like she didn't get enough done. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you need to, like, actually honor what that to-do list is. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're done, intentionally set out to do a certain amount of goals and you check those things off, then, like, you've got to get that out of your head and you've got to, like, let yourself feel accomplished because that's the dangerous part is if you don't get that emotion in check of always being like, I need more, I should have done more, I want more, like you're just going to spiral like that for the rest of your life. Like you've got to get that in check. So whether it's, you know, letting yourself celebrate yourself with a glass of wine at 5 o'clock or, you know, like whatever it is that you do, you've got to find ways to like within be satisfied with what you've done in the day.
Yeah. And recognize that mental health and self-care is just as important as all those other things.
Oh, fully.
So whether it's you celebrate with a book, okay, now it's time to read, you know, I get to do this because I finished all of this, or you get to make yourself a yummy meal, or you get to order dinner from like your favorite place.
Yeah.
You gotta celebrate yourself somehow.
Yeah.
Even if that's just like fully doing a full skincare routine, like you gotta take a moment for yourself.
For sure.
It's necessary.
I think also like about like days off and feeling like you didn't do anything or what did she say? She feels like sluggish.
When she does take a full break, she feels gross and sluggish, which I personally relate to.
I can thrive at being lazy, but I do get that like if I'm just like laying watching TV all day, like where you feel almost like sick, you know, because you've just been there. I understand that, but I think you've got to, like, find hobbies or something to do. Like, for me, if I wake up on a Saturday and I know I have a Lego set that I'm doing that day, mm-hmm. like, even though to me, like, that is my purest form of, like, relaxing and, like, joy, it does feel very intentional for me to, like, have something out. It's an activity that I'm doing. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to watch an episode and then I'm going to go organize the fridge or I'm going to, like, watch another episode and then do something else or go for a walk. Like, you can still plan out a day of being, like, having a break.
1,000%.
So I think it's finding that balance. And even if you're being intentional about things, all the activities you're being intentional about, just make sure wrapped within those is, like, self-care, resetting. You know what I mean? But I think you've got a lot of, like, mental work you need to do.
Yeah.
Of how do you restructure the way that you like view and think about things.
Yeah.
But I think it's very doable.
100%. And I just got so excited because this whole conversation made me think of a podcast that I love. And one of my favorite podcasters is Ed Milet. He is very inspirational. He's very wise, I feel like, when it comes to just work and the brain and having that work ethic. And he interviewed Mel Robbins, who is the author of The Motivational Power of a High Five. And I listened to that podcast probably 3 times. I sent it to everyone I know. I was like, this is an incredible episode where she talks about how she started giving herself a high five in the mirror to get her going that day.
Yeah.
And then it became such a thing that if she finished something, she'd just give herself a little self high five. It was the smallest little recognition of accomplishment, but it became a perpetual habit to the point where her whole family, oh, you did something great, high five. Oh, she's sitting by herself. If she just, did an enormous like work thing, she would just give herself a little self high five. And if she was feeling down and unmotivated to work, she'd look in the mirror, hype herself up and like give herself a self high five. And she obviously says this much more eloquently.
Oh, the actual like psychology and science that she brings of one, how we're conditioned from a young age, like what a high five represents and the feeling of accomplishment and support. And then two, like she just goes into like the the brain. It's very fascinating. Yeah. I highly recommend the book too.
Yeah. We'll actually have it linked. I think we should link it in the description box for you guys to listen, because one, you'll love him, and I am totally fine with supporting him. But two, she's incredible. And I really think it is such a doable, manageable thing to add to your lifestyle that will just completely change and alter it and bring something positive into your life. And I think especially because you, Anonymous, are just such a on top of it, progressive three, like looking into the future to want to make a better future for yourself. Like, this is going to just, I think, really complement it and just be the cherry on top to a very healthy work ethic and mental health lifestyle.
Yeah, no, for sure. We got to gas ourselves up. We got to support ourselves.
We work hard.
Yeah, we do.
And we do deserve that break.
And honestly, I've gotten better at, if I've had a day where I've just been lazy all day, at some point, and if I'm fighting myself on it or whatever, at some point I'll finally just within myself be like, okay, you're obviously struggling today, so how about we actually be intentional about resting today?
Yeah.
And then it doesn't feel like there's no guilt of oh my gosh, I'm sitting on the couch, I should be doing something. But I'm no, I've already leaned into I'm not being productive today, and it, for whatever reason, I'm struggling. And then it becomes intentional. So I think even small things like building a Lego set, you can be very intentional about it, and it can be something that you feel accomplished about your day if you set that intentionality. So
yeah. And after a break, if you're starting to feel gross and sluggish, I get that feeling, because for me, there's a fine line between a vacation, a 6-7 day vacation and a 10 day vacation. 10 days is too long usually for me, and I start feeling gross, sluggish. I miss my routine, and I just want to get back into it. But I love, my favorite thing about vacation is that drive and desire to get back into my routine. I never hit my routine harder than after I've come back from a break.
Yeah, that's true.
I dive in head first. I'm waking up early. I'm chugging my water. I'm getting all my work done before 5. I'm crushing my workouts, and I'm seeing my friends, because I feel like that break did that for me. And I think it's important to let yourself have that break so that you can work even harder and dive in even harder into your routine. That's why it's so necessary to go on vacation and take mental health breaks.
No,
so,
for sure.
Even though it feels sluggish and gross, take it for what it is. Use that as a fire to propel you into the next day. And you've got this, baby girl. You're crushing
thriving.
It. You're crushing it over there.
Wow.
Well, you've inspired me to crush it.
I'm going to start working on my New Year's resolutions now. And
well, guys. That's all I got for today.
Yeah.
We went through 2 stories.
Yeah, we did.
We're on top of it today.
Christmas trivia. Do you want a couple?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We should. It's festive.
What did the other reindeer not let Rudolph do because of his shiny red nose? Come on, Ash.
Sneeze.
It's not a dad joke. It's a trivia. No, play any reindeer game.
Oh, I thought it was a...
It's trivia.
Forgot what we were doing.
How many ghosts showed up in A Christmas Carol?
3. 4?
4.
Damn.
Where is baby Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
Good job. What are the 2 most popular names for Santa Claus?
Saint Nick?
No. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I was like, what?
Yeah. And?
2 most popular names. Saint Nick.
Rhymes with a chip.
Rhymes with what?
A chip.
Pringle. Kris Kringle.
Yeah.
She goes, Pringle.
In Home Alone, where are the McAllisters going on vacation when they leave Kevin?
Hawaii. London.
Europe.
Paris.
I don't know why I'm whispering. In the classic movie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Mm-hmm. The Grinch was described in 3 words. They all start with S.
Sly, slimy, stinky, smelly, scratchy. You can't scratch your face when you're giving me hints.
My face is stink, stank, stunk.
Stink, stank, stunk.
In the... What word follows silent night in the song?
Holy night.
Good job. You've only got the...
all the super church. Christian stuff. Yeah.
I'm dead.
Because that's how I was raised.
What country did eggnog come from?
Ooh, interesting. I don't know.
England.
You know what? That tracks. I don't like eggnog. Do you like eggnog?
I don't feel like I would, but I also don't know if I've tried it in the last, like, 10 years.
I will say I've definitely had it. I don't know that I've had the authentic version, but either way, I don't think I like it. it's not my thing.
Drinking eggs is all I think about. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, last one. In the song Winter Wonderland, what do we call the snowman?
Frosty?
No.
I don't know.
Parson Brown.
Oh.
You know the song?
No. Sing it.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown.
He is what?
Parson Brown.
Parson Brown.
What did you say?
I don't know. I think I mumble a lot of Christmas songs.
Actually,
I don't know a lot of the lyrics.
I think you do that to, there's been a few times we've been driving and like you'll sing something and I'm like, what did you say?
I'm going to say something. When does everyone sit down? Do people look up the lyrics? Because that is a real thing that I've noticed, that people just know the lyrics. And I'm like, you must have looked. When did people start doing that? Because I don't know. I feel like it has to be a very specific type of slow song for me to know all the words specifically. But even then, they all like, you know, singing. Yeah. Words get mushed together.
I look up some, but I feel like I just like listen and then like I'll think about like context wise.
Maybe I don't think.
Yeah. But also like you're, you'll be off, but it also makes sense.
I don't think it always makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's just me just like shooting the, just what?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh, that's funny. I wish there was a way to like know all of the lyrics that you've done wrong, because that would be,
oh my God,
so funny.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a lot of them, most of them, most of my life. I remember, what was it?
When do people look up the lyrics?
There was a Christmas song that I remember being in choir in like second grade singing for our Christmas show. And I would always say something Chelsea. And I knew that in Excelsis Deo.
Yes.
I would always say Chelsea.
Chelsea.
In Excelsis Deo.
Yeah.
When the word is Excelsis Deo or whatever.
It's like,
But for the longest time I said Chelsea because I didn't know what the hell everyone was saying.
And you're just like, I don't know who Chelsea is, but like, whatever.
She must be important.
She's cool. Jesus's cousin. Yeah. Chelsea,
didn't you know?
I'm dead.
Oh,
okay.
Shoot.
Well, continuing in the spirit, we'll end with a Christmas dad joke.
Yes, please.
How much did Santa pay for his sleigh?
I don't know.
Nothing. It was on the house. Get it?
That's so good. Guys, thank you so much for making it to the dad joke. If you did, you already know. We love you the mostest. Follow
Merry
us.
Merry freaking Christmas,
on
y'all.
Socials. Also, Merry Christmas. We love you guys so much, and we hope you have the best, happiest, most delightful holidays.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Love you all.
Bye. Bye.
A supportive work environment can help everyone working in schools stay resilient.
Just finding people that can reassure me that I'm doing my best and that there are people out there who understand me and can help me through these situations.
You are not alone.
Leaning on each other, colleagues in education is essential. You have to.
We take care of one another.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. That's cdcfoundation.org/how right now. A supportive work environment can help everyone working in schools stay resilient.
Just finding people that can reassure me that I'm doing my best and that there are people out there who understand me and can help me through these situations.
You are not alone.
Leaning on each other, colleagues in education is essential. You have to.
We take care of one another.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. That's cdcfoundation.org/how right now. Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.